From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Putri, and I will present some segments to you, beginning from news across the country and other interesting info, as well as some songs. Well, listener, we begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Booster vaccine distribution to involve regular channels. Indonesia and South Korea established business cooperation in the ethylene sector. Now the news in details. The Ministry of Religious Affairs has reminded operators of Umrah Pilgrimage or PPIU to comply with the One Gate policy to streamline administrative formalities and minimize the potential for COVID-19 transmission. This was stated by Director General of Hajj and Umrah at the Ministry, Hilman Latif, in a statement received by Antara on Saturday. The One Gate policy is a centralized system for the pilgrims' embarkation. The policy also regulates health checks, PCR swab tests, vaccination status checking, immigration, and other documentation. The Health Ministry will use the regular distribution channel for delivering the boosters or third dose of COVID-19 vaccine to 21 million recipients. COVID-19 vaccination spokesperson Siti Nadia Tarmizi informed on Saturday that the distribution stage will be carried out by state-owned vaccine manufacturer PT Bio Farma. Production will be carried out after the vaccine receives emergency use authorization from the National Agency of Drugs and Food Control. Indonesian Ambassador to the Republic of Korea, Gandhi Sulistianto Suherman, said that Indonesia and South Korea have established a new cooperation in the ethylene sector. This could be realized by agreeing the Memorandum of Understanding related to the acceleration of investment realization facility between the Indonesian Ministry of Investment and South Korean company, which was carried out on a hybrid basis recently. Ambassador Gandhi Sulistianto, quoted on the Indonesia's embassy website in Seoul Saturday, said that signing reflects the high commitment of Indonesia and South Korea in increasing investment and developing new partnerships in the ethylene sector. Let's move on to the international news. The United Kingdom's official death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic rose above 150,000 on Saturday. Government figures showed following a record wave of cases caused by the Omicron variant. Some 313 deaths within 28 days of a positive COVID-19 test were reported on Saturday, taking the total number of fatalities on these measures to more than 150,000. Britain has seen a surge of cases linked to the Omicron coronavirus variant in recent weeks, though death rates have been lower than during previous infection waves. New daily COVID-19 cases in the Japanese capital Tokyo rose to 1,224 on Saturday, the highest since September 11. COVID-19 is surging in Japan, and the country is stepping up restrictions in three regions that host U.S. military bases, which some officials say have helped fuel the spike. The measures, which may include shortening the operating hours of restaurants and bars, are due to effect on Sunday. Nationally, Kyodo News Agency said new cases were likely to be around 7,000, with areas such as Okinawa and Hiroshima, both set to go under the new restrictions on Sunday, posting their highest caseloads ever. Kazakhstan's former intelligence chief has been arrested on suspicions of treason. the State Security Agency said on Saturday, as the former Soviet Republic cracks down on a wave of unrest and starts to assign blame. The detentions of Karim Masinov was announced by the National Security Committee, which he headed until he was fired by President Kasym Jomart Tokayev on Wednesday after violent protests swept across the Central Asian nation. Dozens of people have died and public buildings in Kazakhstan have been ransacked and burned in the worst series of violence in the ex-Soviet country has endured during its 30 years of independence. In the days of violence, security forces appeared to have taken over the streets of Kazakhstan, main city, on Friday. Russia-backed President Tokayev said he had ordered soldiers to shoot dead rioters to quell uprisings across the country. At least 7 people were killed and 3 were missing after a cliff collapsed onto boats carrying tourists on a lake in Brazil. Authorities said on Saturday, rescue teams, including a dive squad and members of the Brazilian Navy, rushed to Furnas Lake in Minas Gerais state, where panicked tourists had watched helplessly as a large rock fragment broke off from a ravine and plunked down on the top of 3 boats. Another 32 were wounded, including 9 who had to be hospitalized. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. The chief of the Indonesian National Police, General Listio Sigit Prabowo, together with a number of ministers and officials, launched a precision quarantine monitoring application at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, Banten, on Thursday, January 6. Chief of Police Listio Sigit Prabowo on that occasion said, this application can be used by quarantine agents so that the movement check is monitored by officers. Users simply download the applications, activate via telephone number and scan the code at the quarantine location. The National Police Chief explained, the advantage of this precision quarantine monitoring applications are, users only checked in with a QR code, which will automatically calculate the quarantine validity period. Officers can monitor statistics and radius of the application user's distance from the quarantine location. In addition, notifications automatically will be given to the officers or command center if the user leaves the radius of the quarantine location that has been determined. When the quarantine period has ended, the system will validate according to the quarantine rules and provide notifications to officers and the command center. The launch of this application is not to replace the government's Peduli Lindungi or Care for Protecting application, but to help prevent the transmission of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. The National Police Chief, Listio Sigit, also conveyed that the application platform was a commitment from the National Police and also a form of representations of the state presence to protect the public from the transmission of the spread of COVID-19 variant, including the new Omicron variant. He added, this application will be strengthened at entry points into Indonesian territory, which must be strictly guarded. The entry points in question are Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Juanda Airport, Samratulangi Airport, Batam, Tanjung Pinang and Nunukan Ports, Aruk Entikong and Motain Cross-Border Post. With the launch of the Precision Quarantine Monitoring Application, the National Police Chief hopes that the current handling and control of COVID-19 is good, can be maintained in the future. Furthermore, the National Police Chief hopes the public can understand all efforts and enforcement of rules as part of the protection of the state to citizens from exposures to various variants of the coronavirus. With public health insurance, Indonesia will also be ready to hold national and international events. This will certainly resurrect Indonesia's economic growth in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'll begin today in history with January 9, 1951, when the United Nations headquarters is officially opened in New York. The United Nations UN officials opened its headquarters in New York City on January 9, 1951. This place is the most important location and the main place for the United Nations to conduct meetings, such as the UN General Assembly, Security Council, and Economic and Social Council. In addition to being a gathering place for meetings, at the UN headquarters there is also the UN Secretariat building. After the formation of the United Nations in 1945, the headquarters was set in London. However, on October 19, 1949, the first stone of the United Nations headquarters was laid in New York City, United States of America. Moving on to January 9, 1960, when the constructions of the High Aswan Dam began. Aswan Dam is a dam located in the city of Aswan by the Nile River in Egypt, Africa. It is 3,830 meters long and 980 meters high. The water that can be accommodated is up to 132 billion cubic meters. It is used for flood control, power generation, and irrigation. This dam is one of the largest in the world. I'll end today in history with January 9, 2021, when Sriwijaya Air Flight 182 crashed. Sriwijaya Air Flight 182 is a domestic passenger flight operated by Sriwijaya Air from Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, Jakarta, to Supadio International Airport, Pontianak, West Kalimantan. On January 9, 2021, the plane crashed into the waters of the Thousand Island, Jakarta, 4 minutes after takeoff, killing all 62 people on board. The victims consisted of 50 passengers and 12 crews. Spokesperson for the Ministry of Transportation reported that the plane had experienced an abnormal condition during the flight.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, We would like to thank our dear listeners, whatever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing deception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to reply an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar in India. Hello, sir. Thank you for your greeting and Happy New Year too for you. For you, here is a beautiful song. Enjoy.
Serasa mati rasa. Kini tak lagi, kata mama juga jangan bimbang, itu menyakitkan.
Still tuned to the voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Basketball Association Perbasi held the Indonesia Basketball Festival Program. It is a series of championships leading to the Federation Internasional de Basketball, the Federation of International Basketball FIBA Asia Cup, which will be held on July 12 to 24, 2022. This event is a basketball competition aimed at warming up towards the 2021 FIBA Asia Cup Indonesia. It will be present in five cities that have history and special tourism icons. The Indonesian Basketball Festival was indeed prepared as a road to FIBA Asia Cup 2021 program. In a virtual media meeting on Tuesday in Jakarta, the chief executive of FIBA Asia Cup, Junas Miradiarsyah, said the purpose of holding the IBF was not only a place to find young talents in the country, but also to invigorate and promote basketball throughout the region, especially since Indonesia will hold FIBA Asia Cup 2022. According to Junas, The Indonesian Basketball Festival, which is a basketball championship for 19 to 22 years old, will be held in five cities, where the first series will be held in Timika on January 7 to 11 and will then move to Bali, Surabaya, Yogyakarta, and Jakarta. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Basketball Association, Dani Kosasi, hopes that with the Indonesian Basketball Festival, young and talented Indonesian players will be more mature. The purpose of the Indonesian Basketball Festival is indeed many. He emphasized that the concept, the event, will be a match between players from each region. Players who may appear must be 19 to 22 years old in the male and female categories. He hopes to get a lot of player data from all over Indonesia to supply the needs of national team players in the future. Regarding the Omicron virus variants, which continues to grow, the organizing committee stated that it has cooperated with the local government as the party responsible for the supervision of COVID-19 by coordinating the COVID-19 task force and is ready to implement strict health protocols in every match. In addition to basketball competition, the Indonesian Basketball Festival also presents entertainment activities such as bazaar and coaching clinics that present Indonesian professional athletes. According to the schedule, after Timika Papua on 7 to 11 January, the next event will be held in Bali on February 23 to 24, Surabaya on March 16 to 20, Yogyakarta on May 11 to 15, and Jakarta on June 1 to 5, and ends with the FIBA Asia Cup on July 12 to 24 in Jakarta.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Now we will reply an email from MS Srinivasa Raju, also from India. Hello sir, thank you for your greeting. We also hope in 2022 will give us all a very healthy and pandemic is over. Special for you, here is another beautiful song.
Telah kau bisikkan pada hatiku. Dia berhenti mendengarkan semua nalarku. Berbahaya bagimu bila denganku. Berbahaya bagimu. Rasakan itu menghilanglah denganku.
Percayalah padaku bila dirimu meragu, ku melaju karenamu, senyummu, detakmu kau genggam erat tanganku. Lupakan putaran waktu, kan ku sentuh jiwamu, ragamu, hingga kau rasakan ku. Setiap kau tatap dalam mataku, salah terasa benar bila ku lakukan denganmu.
Berbahaya bagimu bila denganku, berbahaya bagimu. Tapi bila kau mau rasa kau rasakan ku.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让整确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, the next segment that I will present is Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Jepara is one of the areas in central Java which is directly adjacent to the sea. One of the beautiful islands that is still included in the Jepara area is Panjang Island, which can be reached approximately 20 minutes from Jepara city. Tourist spots, which is located in Ujung Batu, Jepara District, Jepara Regency, Central Java, is not an inhabited island. On Panjang Island, only food vendors, accessory vendors, and lighthouse keepers live there. Its wonderful nature with beautiful green trees and blue ocean is the main attraction for tourists to visit it. Panjang Island is very quiet, so that visitors who come will feel like they are on a private island. On this island, visitors can do various activities such as camping, cycling, and also snorkeling. To enter this tourist attraction, the ticket and boat fare is very cheap, less than $2. But if visitor stays on Panjang Island, the fare will be doubled, because the boat has to go back and forth to pick up visitors again. Panjang Island is very suitable for tourists who love snorkeling. Its pretty underwater panorama is clearly visible on the seabed. If you don't bring snorkeling equipment, you don't need to worry, because there you can rent the best quality equipment for safety. For those of you who don't like snorkeling, you can still enjoy the underwater beauty by using a small boat to get around. The clear blue water mixed with green and always kept clean makes the underwater scenery clearly visible. Panjang Island is open every day for 24 hours. If you feel like to unwind yourself, Panjang Island in the province of Central Java can be your holiday destination, which can restore your clarity of mind and freshness.
Now we'll reply an email from Fukui in Japan. He is one of the winners of VOI International Quiz. In his email, he said that the prize has arrived safely. All of them are very wonderful and he is very impressed. Hello sir, thank you for your confirmation about the prize. Your email has been forwarded to Japanese section. Please be patient to wait for a reply. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song. Happy weekend and enjoy the song.
Yeah.
Well, listener, the next segment is Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Red onions or shallots can be considered as the main ingredients in Indonesian food preparation. No wonder shallot skin waste is very abundant. In an effort to utilize waste and create environmentally friendly soap, University of Muhammadiyah Yogyakarta students made an innovative herbal soap made from shallot peel waste. This herbal soap, created by the Entrepreneurship Students Creativity Week team, is made from red onion or shallot skin that has been clinically tested. According to Desi Susilawati, as the supervisor, the soap that has been clinically tested has a very large bacterial inhibitory power. It because the skin of shallot contains pectin, flavonoids, antioxidants, anti-inflammatory, B vitamins, C, E, and sulfur. The benefits of this product include helping to treat the skin, reducing excessive oil on the skin, removing black spots on the skin, helping to overcome acne on the back, overcoming mild itching, and hydrating the skin. In addition to raw materials, the packaging of the soap products also uses paper that has been recycled and is easily decomposed by the soil. This product, called Guzel Herbal Soap, also won the favorite prize in the Private Higher Education Student Scientific Week 2021 and won second place in the MONEF competition throughout Indonesia.
Hey kamu di situ, aku butuh penjelasanmu tentang semua tingkah lakumu tiap hari manjakan diriku. Sejak saat itu kau selalu beri perhatianmu, seakan-akan diriku
saja, ku butuh kepastian.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, here is the next segment, Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Listener, we will present you with a song by Fleur entitled Lagu Lama. This 60s classic rock band released a single titled Lagu Lama in 2020. The idea of Lagu Lama came from Yuyi Trirahma as bass and vocals while she watched an election debate. Yuyi expressed her boredom in the lyrics of Lagu Lama, which depicts the loss of patience towards someone who never changes despite promising to change. According to Yuyi, Lagu Lama was chosen as a single to represent the masculine side of Fleur Feminine. Well, listener, here is the song Lagu Lama by Fleur.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Melihat dia di depanku, dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku tajam. Di sini, di dalam dadaku, ada getar luput aku sebut. Dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku tajam.
Of Indonesia.
Aku
Voice of Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwaves 3325 kHz and also website voinews.id and through RRI Play Go application. Don't forget to send your reception report to our email address voi@voinews.id or you can send through to our social media such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Stay tuned to The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.